Welcome to another educating and fun-packed episode of King of the Buttons. I was thinking about the dazzling power of UBob and FacePoke the other day. Why bother speaking to people in person when you can USB your head into a laptop all your life? What next? Text worship? Downloadable cheese? Virtual parking fines? I suspect that the Tinterweb itself may never catch on. TV you can watch anytime, anywhere. Don't bother thinking about the world. Catch it all again on BBC 12. How long before 3G piss bags save us from the discourtesy of having a wee-wee? Maybe I'm getting old. No, I am getting old. They say the revolution will be televised, but they were wrong. It was on last week. It's probably on one of those strange plus one channels. And so, to our old friend the radio. What happened to the wireless in this most wireless of ages? Nothing. Even digitisation couldn't stop it crackling out premier quality in the background. And as for the podcast, well, the jury is still out. In fact, even the judge is on holiday. King of the Buttons, a tranche of hyperslop in the restaurant at the end of the Ethernet.
And now it's time for Thought for the Day, with our resident Satanist, Dr. Martin Balshamar the Wretched, Blood Guardian of the 8th Church of Demeziel in Reading.
Thank you, Beverly. Perhaps your snivelling worms at home would care to join me in our usual satanic greeting. Hail, mighty Lucifer! We kneel before you, Master, and beg you to cleave the filthy flesh from our living bones. Now, fallen ones, my message to you today is one of beauty, purity, violence, and hatred. And my angels of death, it is the last of these exquisite qualities upon which we must focus. Whether you are a traffic warden, inflicting minor horrors on the few, or whether you are a government minister, giving malice to millions, you must embrace hate, the purest form of love. Only through hate can we really understand the simple gifts that Satan has given us all. The gifts of envy, of agony, of Jazz FM, and of Asda. Think of our sweet Satan today, whilst you're out doing some shopping or boiling a child in dog's milk. Think of Satan as he travels his earth, triggering explosions and car alarms, and dropping bombs from out of planes and dropping dog dirts from under his blouse onto busy pavements. He is with us always, as we thrust and vomit, as we urinate on each other and count our nipples, as we tempt and tease, vote in local elections, visit Scotland, and leave the top off the toothpaste. He smiles on us, doing his work with delicious hatred in our pathetic hearts. These glorious acts must be foremost in your futile minds always, slaves, in preparation for the smoking hells of pain and terror that lie in wait for you all. But this path lies ahead for only the damned, or rather, the damned lucky. If you are not lucky, if you fail my master, then you shall perish forever in the vilest hell of mankind's own making. You may cry out in fear, humans. You may scream without shame, for you know of which I speak. Yes, fail to hate, and you shall dwell until time is ended in IKEA. The trolleys are all gone. You cannot park. It will be too busy. There will be an insufficient number of your chosen items in the warehouse, and you will not know this until you have been through the entire store and made your choices. And then we shall begin in aisle one, and no, you may not have Swedish meatballs and a coffee first. Satan wishes to look at lampshades forever. Until next time, urchins, fear me, fear each other, and most of all, hate.
That was a track called Here I Am by Everyday Jones. Those Joneses seem to get everywhere, don't they?
So, Mr. Bugley, you're looking to arrange a funeral for your former boss?
That's right. Something, you know, fairly...
dignified.
Well, cheap.
Good. Well, this sounds like a great opportunity to try out one or two little new ideas I've had since I inherited this business from my father. You see, Bob...
Peter.
Shh, precious. I've always thought that funerals tend to be a bit, you know, formal, sombre, somewhat drawn, depressing even.
Yes, indeed. I remember when my own mother died, some people were terribly...
bored?
No, upset.
Yes, that too.
800 bastard quid that coffin cost, and all they did was set fire to it. Should have done what I said, put her in the boot, then we could have got it done for free and got the insurance money on the car.
Do you know what people really want at funerals?
Cost efficiency?
No, much better, fireworks.
Fireworks? At a funeral?
Well, only to start with, then when people are nicely relaxed by all the loud explosions and bright flashes, we bring on dancing girls.
That certainly would be something of a departure from the norm. The only thing is it all sounds a bit, you know, expensive. Given this is my boss's funeral, I would ideally like to keep the cost, you know...
manageable?
Below 10 quid.
Well, don't worry about that. I'll do this one cheap, because that brings me to another idea I've had. Answer me this. How many funerals have you bought in the last 3 months?
No, none. Just this one.
Exactly. How can an entrepreneur like me run an empire without repeat customers? What I've got to do is make having a funeral fun. People have got to enjoy the experience. Have a good time, have some drinks, something to eat, do some beatbox or breakdancing, watch the jugglers, visit the theme park and souvenir shop, and then want to come back the next week and do it all again. I'll make a fortune.
Well, it's an interesting idea, but I suspect that increasing the frequency of funerals might be a bit tricky. You see, people don't die very often. Only once each, in fact, I believe.
There is that. My father hasn't passed away again for ages, and when he did, it was only the once.
Well, I'm sorry. Please accept my condolences.
How did he enjoy the stilt walkers? Well, he couldn't really see being dead at the time, but I didn't want him to feel left out during the little carnival I arranged, so I had him painted silver and fired out of a cannon over the churchyard straight into his grave.
Oh, how sweet. But no, what I meant was, how did he die?
He sadly died in a freak accident just after he altered his will in my favour.
Oh, shame.
It's desperately sad. He accidentally, repeatedly shot himself in the back with my gun.
What a waste. In fact, oddly enough, my boss died in similarly unfortunate and inexplicable circumstances.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just as he was about to conduct my annual appraisal, he accidentally slipped and trapped his head in the filing cabinet. Despite my best efforts to free him, his head was repeatedly mashed to a pulp.
Oh, that is tragic.
Right, now, I was in a shop the other day, which is not an unusual thing, but I witnessed an outrageous event, which happened at the counter, strangely.
Was it you stealing an old lady's purse?
No, it was about 10 minutes later.
Oh, okay.
But I was in this shop, and it was a clothing shop, a ladies' clothing shop.
Tell me again. No, I don't want to know why you're in there. Go on.
I was buying something for someone else, honestly.
Your other person.
Anyway, there was a lady in there procuring a jumper, and she'd bought a jumper about 10 minutes ago or something. And she come back in and she said, can I buy another jumper under the 2 for £40 option? And they said...
Instead of the one she got?
No, well, she wanted to buy another one on top, but she wanted to pay the difference. Do you see what I mean?
Okay.
But anyway, she was told that...
So the first jumper that she bought was like £30.
Yeah.
And something like that. Another one for 10.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand the basic
premise
of the story.
You made a lot of notes there about that. Yeah.
We'll come back to them in detail.
Okay, right. I'll get it all out now. Or maybe not. She was told behind the counter that the girl said that basically she wasn't competent enough to get her to pay the difference and add it into the till and run it through the machine. But also that if she wanted a refund, she couldn't have one because it was a Sunday and there was no manager ever available
on
a Sunday.
On religious grounds.
It was probably on religious grounds.
It was against... it makes the baby Jesus cry when they give a refund.
Does it?
Yeah, everybody knows that.
What kind of tears?
Crocodile ones.
I'd have thought there might be tears of wee-wee.
That's blasphemous.
It is. I must apologise. In fact, I'm going to ring up the Reverend John Sentamu now and apologise to him, because he is a friend of mine. And also, I was discussing this week that he is the Black Graham Norton. I don't know if you know this.
What?
If you look at John Sentamu and Graham Norton, they're one and the same person.
Do you know something?
What's that?
You're going to hell.
I think I might be going to hell. Anyway, back to this refund. The woman, believe it or not, just took it on the chin and just said, okay, fair enough, and walked off.
What, the chin got to do anything?
Well, I don't know. I think it was another part of the offer, some kind of, you know, term and condition that applied.
But having to take it on the chin.
Yeah.
It's a bit harsh.
It is a bit harsh, isn't it? So because she was fairly elderly as well.
She just accepted this. She said, okay, I've changed my mind then. I don't want a refund. I want to just go away.
Yeah, pretty much, I think. Which, I was outraged at.
Did you leap in like the consumer champion you are and say, hi?
As you know, strange rules and petty bureaucracy are a specialty of mine.
They get you going, don't
they? They do get me going, but I didn't intervene at this stage, partly because I was very tired and partly because I didn't really care.
Yeah.
But I just walked away from it thinking, the poor woman, you know, now she's only got one jumper to wear, you know, in summer.
And she could have had two.
She could have had two.
For 40 English pounds.
Around about 40 English pounds.
You know those petty bureaucratic rules that drive you mad?
Yes.
My uncle, who's a journalist, similarly hates these petty rules.
Right,
he likes
okay.
writing stories about them.
What does he write? What magazine does he write for?
It's a newspaper.
Oh, a journal.
Yeah, and in fact, it's Britain's most weekly newspaper.
Is it the Staines Informer?
It doesn't matter what it is.
Okay.
Anyway, he once got fined for, you know, when you have a car, you have to have a tax disc in it.
Yeah.
And
on the window somewhere.
Yeah, displayed on the window, and that's the critical bit. He had a tax disc.
Right.
Which he had bought and put inside the vehicle, but the suction on his screen device
mount
had failed, and it had fallen off the windscreen and landed just on the floor by the seat and was not easily visible to the naked eye. And a traffic warden or somebody came along, an enforcer came along and saw that he wasn't displaying tax disc and fined him. And he got this, you know, letter stuck under the windscreen wiper and all that. And when he went along to contest it at the magistrate's court, he said, I've got a tax disc, here it is, it's perfectly valid, I've had it for 3 months. And they said, ah, yes, but it's a requirement to display it, not just to own it.
And how did he react?
He was furious.
Was he furious?
Yeah, he took a scythe with him.
A scythe?
Yeah.
Well, a big kind of Grim Reaper style thing.
Yeah, yeah. And he cut the magistrate's leg off.
Just his leg?
His left one.
And how did the magistrate react?
He was hopping mad.
Was he? Hey! Yeah.
I got much in the fridge. I'm dying for some toast, but I ain't got no electricity. I got me one of them paper gold cards. I forgot it down the off license. I'm dying for some toast. I'm dying for some toast. My brother's not here, but he don't want no toast, not a no slice, no toast. Ooh, yeah.
King of the Buttons.
The African Tourist Office, where two ministers discuss how the escalating political and economic meltdown can be refocused to encourage greater tourism. Umberto Ikalulululu is the Minister for Information. He has been summoned to the presidential palace of Mulava Ratakafakalakalakak, the country's president since the age of six. Bang Bang Calvo briefs Umberto as he arrives.
Come in quickly. Brush the blood off your jacket. His Excellency wishes to talk with us. He is very concerned that people will no longer visit our glorious country.
I apologize, my friend. I was met with the most gracious welcome from our comrades, the people of Zabalulu. As a token of affection and love for our government, they pelted me with fresh fruit and good luck charms carved from stones. And one of them even offered me a baseball bat to kiss in honour of our prosperity.
I know what you mean, Calvo. I myself was showered in our glorious currency when I arrived. The streets are littered with billion-dollar notes, such is our great prosperity. But despite our fabulous wealth, times are hard. Foreigners try to ruin us at every turn by refusing to give us free money and by continuously leaving us alone for the last 30 years. We must relaunch our country as a haven of peace and tranquility.
Yes, good idea. We'll play on our natural features. I can see the adverts now. Visit our burning oil fields. See the cleared lands of our forefathers and the glorious factories that now stand derelict upon them. Swim in our lakes, the most colourful in the whole continent. Our friendly people, who always help unburden the weary traveller of his heavy luggage and his cell phone and his traveller's checks.
Perhaps we need something else. Something to rival Paris's mosques, Rome's port, or the beaches of England's Solihull.
Yeah.
A new flag, perhaps?
No, no, no. The glorious image of our first president, making plenty with his many wives and sisters, before growing tired of them, jailing them without trial, and having them beheaded, must never be removed. It is our symbol of unity and of freedom.
Forgive me, brother. It's the euphoria of being within the presidential compound and the canisters of perfume our people throw over the walls to honour us. It's made me a little bit completely incompetent for the last 25 years.
Quickly, quickly, His Excellency has finished polishing skulls and now approaches.
Sir, to confirm, did 25 million Blake voting slips in 100,000 anti-dissident IK-47s by next Tuesday? Thanks very much, Mr. Junta. I agree, sir. It is only way to run a democracy.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Now, gentlemen, what have you for me? I have little time for cheap gestures in this time of great celebration. Shortly, I will announce that I have won next week's election. So free are my people that they do not even need to vote for me. Such is my greatness for all the world to see. But my faithful people have insisted that I take control of all the newspapers and every television channel. They have insisted and insist until many of them lay dead in the streets with joy.
Well, Excellency, it's a truth that every other country in the world has been put off by our desire for constant celebration. As you call it, using heavy weaponry on foreign journalists and ambassadors. Our airfields and ports are empty, and our economy is more broken than the leader of the opposition's neck.
To the point, Umberto.
We have to reband and refocus ourselves, sir. You see, we're losing tourists to the cultural wonders of Europe. The temples of Magaluf, the fountains of Didcot, the pyramids of Holland. Zabalulu must be elevated in the eyes of the tourist.
I have never heard such nonsense. I will remove the eyes of any tourist. However, the way forward is clear.
What is it, Excellency? Is it your immediate resignation in exchange for an IMF emergency loan and UN peacekeeping force to supervise the first free election for 30 years?
Yes, Excellency. Perhaps followed by your trial at The Hague. Surely the country will unite in urinating on you before you are hanged for a million crimes.
I think not, brothers. And you now have an appointment with my police, some electrodes and a red hot hanger to explain yourselves. No, clearly my country is being undermined by too much freedom. My own benevolence has allowed my people to become decadent and lazy. We will recruit more children into the police and pay them to beat their families and throw them down the mines to make them free and more hardworking. Commission my brother, the Minister for Finance, to produce a 340 million kaka note to pay for it. You half-wits have betrayed your training at Oxford's Brookes University once again. Now leave me. I must contemplate why my people have let me down so badly.
And welcome to the Antiques Roadshow. This week, we're in the Guildhall, Luton.
Oh, wonderful. My favourite programme. I must turn up the volume to drown out the terrified screams of my loyal supporters being educated in the cellar.
This is Staircase to the Sky by Justin Gordon. Well, I said, out in rainy weather for the Mexican desert with a stick of beef jerky and a Sprite. A roll in a lane into Ensenada City and a well-up-bed on motel for the night. Well, a lady at the counter said her name was Juanita. She had a pair of earrings and a nose. She put me in a double with her alcoholic brother. Well, he snored and fell asleep in his clothes. Well, I wonder if I'll ever know the quiet, loving life I used to lead. Feels like forever since we ever got together. And I wonder, do you ever think of me? Well, I kept on driving south and put some chicken in my mouth. Had a shack that said El Pollo on the side. Got a half a bird to go and eased on down the road with an icy cold cucuama for the ride. Well, I headed to a spot that still goes by the name of Wate for a gringo they got shot there years ago. Well, now it's just a place where the freaks can stuff their faces with the psychedelic cactuses that grow. Well, would you even recognize me with my beard and greasy yellow hair? Since she left me, dear, I've been living with the fear. Driving around this crazy country, drinking beer. Ooh,
swagger who led me on a donkey out of ways. Well, things got kind of funny when he asked me for my money with a 22 rifle in my face. I said, hey, no amigo, reconsider, why don't we go work this out together back in town? He said, dame cinco pesos, o te rompo los huesos y déjate por el suelo, maricón. Now I got a 10 and I feel like Superman, but the sun is like 110 degrees. I've been cruising for a bruising, cause I ain't got much to lose, and now my luck is finally catching up with me. Well, I'm as naked as a lizard in this godforsaken desert. Now I'm crawling through the prickers and the sand. Well, I haven't eaten nothing more than 2 peyote buttons. Gee, I wish I had a nice and silver can. Well, my tummy's feeling funny and my limbs are going numb, and I don't know if I should laugh or I should cry. Guess I'm off my tree and I can't believe it's me. Well, I'm walking up a staircase to the sky. When your boys are feeling down cause your baby's not around, do this one last thing before you die. Try the pleasures of the treasures of the Mexican desert. You'll be walking up a staircase to the sky. You'll be walking up a staircase to the sky.
Have you got one of these, I believe they're called iPod devices?
Yeah, I've got an iPod device.
Is it any good?
It's very good, I like it a lot.
Is it? What does it do?
You can put all your songs on it,
yeah.
And you've got a little wheel, and you can select the ones you want.
A wheel?
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Like how does that work?
You move your finger around it,
yeah.
And it selects the one you want.
So how many of your Val Dunican albums can you get on?
Billions.
An iPod?
Absolutely billions.
Billions?
I don't know, I think you can get about 2,000 songs on mine or something. It's about half full, mine is.
That's quite a lot.
Mostly with Val Dunican or Johnny Cash.
Well, of course. Or Roger Whittaker.
Who would want anything else?
Well, see, the thing that amazes me is going to work in the morning, everybody seems to be plugged into to things.
And there's you with your Seisho data cassette recorder.
Yes, auto reverse and Dolby NR.
All the best stuff.
All the good stuff, yes.
And those massive Akai headphones with the curly cord.
Yeah, and the orange foam ear protector. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, you look very smart.
The thing is, quality lasts.
That and your apron.
Yeah, quality lasts. I've told you this before.
What about this blinking iPod then?
Well, you get all these people wearing them, and they're like listening to music and all this kind of thing.
That's what they're for, yeah.
Yeah, apparently. And I think it's just a bit sad that no one's kind of talking to each other anymore.
Yeah, but when people do talk to you on the bus or the train, they're normally nutters.
Do you think? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the nutter then.
Do you talk to people on the train?
Well, I do.
I used to.
I think I used to, but I think I've probably given up now.
You get funny looks from people.
And they're kind of after the court order, I think I've had to give up. But
don't go out preaching on the trains anymore?
I used to do that, but you know, the kind of religion that I preach, people don't warm to it.
They don't want to hear it.
Well, you know, it's mainly the kind of thrash metal gospel songs that I ever go at.
Right.
Which I'm sure you're familiar with.
I think the people who talk to other people on trains, I generally do tend to be a bit odd.
Yeah, I think you probably hit on something.
Didn't somebody get on the train recently when you and your fiancé were on the train?
There was a religious nutter that got on recently, yeah. And he kind of got on and started preaching about various things. And he was fairly harmless up until the point where he started being offensive.
And didn't you give him some advice?
I did shout at him quite loudly and ask him if he'd take a vow of silence.
Good on. Did he?
He didn't. He didn't respond or react to anybody else. And a person I was with, I won't name names, but did shout at him that religion was a crutch for the weak. Mm. Which he did actually slightly flicker at.
Did he?
Yeah, he did blink at.
It's thought-provoking.
It is thought-provoking, yeah.
How did he react generally then to that?
Well, he was still screaming and on his knees and doing all that kind of revelation stuff.
Did he attempt to top the argument by setting himself on fire at all?
He didn't attempt that on the train itself.
Because I find that quite convincing.
Well, spontaneous combustion, that kind of thing.
Or with petrol and matches.
Petrol. Yeah. We could have a go at that later.
I mean, to be honest, if somebody wanted to win an argument with me so much that they were prepared to set themselves on fire rather than concede the point, I would respect that.
I think you would.
I would.
I was... what does annoy me on trains, and I've had this in the Midlands particularly, is where you get kind of TVs on trains. They put a TV on the train, like a little screen,
right,
and it's constantly playing a program or an advert and all this kind of thing.
Advert from JML.
And you just think, well, yeah, or someone, you know, high quality purveyors of filth or goods like that. And you just think, why do I constantly have to be doing something?
To be honest, I've not experienced this television song trade.
You get them on buses as well in some places.
Yeah.
Yeah. They kind of have adverts or the horoscopes or these kind of things, or this person was murdered here last night, or...
Oh, right, you know, yeah.
Dead on the bus. Well,
that's all helpful community information, isn't it?
But it just kind of overloads you, I think, with stuff.
Well, don't watch it.
Well, yeah, I can't. You know,
stare blankly out of the window like all the other drooling chimps on the bus.
But I could close my eyes, I suppose, and pretend it's not there.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you know, I've come out of therapy, which has helped me get over doing that.
You could close your eyes and imagine you're naked.
I could do that. Or I could close my eyes and imagine you're naked.
You could get naked completely.
I could get naked completely.
And open your eyes.
I'd have to, obviously, you know, protect my decency with a Speedo or something.
With a fig leaf.
And I don't mean a pair of, you know, swimming trunks. I mean a Speedo for a car or something like that. In fact, I am that nutter on the train, aren't I, that keeps talking to people.
Yeah, and preaching religion and getting naked and setting yourself on fire.
I've always wondered it was me, after all.
And you've actually just been reading out excerpts from your biography.
Well, I was hoping you were going to mention that, because it is available at a competitive price of $17.99.
That's a bargain.
From the JML book chain.
Featuring a picture of you in the middle, kissing Billy Connolly on the bum.
It's not Billy Connolly.
Who is it?
It's Jesus.
Hold everything.
Coming up now, we've got something that's a bit unusual. We've managed to track down some episodes of a science fiction radio programme from the 1950s. This was recorded in 1951. And the presenter, who I think we can safely call Odd, describes how he imagines the world in the future, i.e. in 1991, 40 years into the future. He made quite a lot of predictions implicitly. I'm not sure that all of them actually came true. But why don't you have a listen and see for yourselves. Here is the first in a series of Future Dome from 1951.
Children and men, fasten your braces, put down your spittoons and join me as we leap forward 40 years in time to
1991.
The year is now
1991.
It is 7:30 in the morning.
1991.
It is time to get up for work. I get out of my bed, fashioned by the finest pygmy workmen from ivory. I salute the nearest picture of the king, and I listen to the national anthem in polychromatic soundscape. After a modern breakfast of moon pills and dog milk, I put on my bright silver trilby and spacesuit and step outside my luxury urban dwelling made of ivory and iron. I admire the modern timber exterior, painted in extremely gay colours. Smoking in
1991
has been proven to be beneficial for health, so I light the first of my 50 daily cigars using my handy pocket lighter powered by red-hot radium. It is a nice day in
1991,
so I decide to walk to the office, taking care not to get run down by a youth on his personal hovercraft. Careful, youth! His hair is so long that his fringe virtually touches his eyebrows. A disgrace, that boy, but 10 years compulsory national service will see him right. I stop at the corner shop to buy a newspaper. Morning, Gustav! Since Britain annexed Russia in
1965,
all news agents in Britain are run by Russians. Put that silly hat of yours on, Gustav. Modern Britain is now in an ice age, and most days it is rather chilly. 18 degrees of Fahrenheit until both suns have risen. 1 and 6 for a paper. I'll thrash your face off, you filthy pinko. After giving Tommy Fur and Johnny a sound thrashing, here we are at my office building. It is 280 stories high, made of space concrete and wood, with a tobacconist shop on every floor. Doris, hang up my space coat and put the electromechanical coffee maker on, please. So efficient that it can make 2 cups of coffee every half hour, using only 1 ton of coal. Coal is in plentiful supply in
1991,
with Britain now the largest coal producer in the world. Over 7 million people now work down Britain's 400 coal mines, and industrial accidents have been reduced to only 75,000 deaths per year. Delicious British coal is in popular demand from the 137 Commonwealth countries that now make up the British Empire, the greatest power on earth after Prussia. Ah, what's that? A message from our HQ in Cardiff, West Gloucestershire.
In 1991,
there are over 200 telephones in daily use in the capital city of Ipswich alone, but most people still rely on the electric telegram. Over 200 telegrams, or telegrammatic communication devices as they are known for short, are used every day. This one says, in modern braille lettering that exports of lead paint to Ceylon are up by 19 shillings per gallon in the month of October alone. I can't wait till the Novemberry figures are in. Now then, what news on this fine day? Let us switch on the atomic wireless and listen to Sound Pictures, a clever new portable device weighing only 1,800 weight, where speaking noises are reproduced by the Scots who rub bits of wire against their frizzy heads. Mind the lazy devils don't see your wife, though. They'll have her in a frying pan quicker than you can say Jack Robinson. Britain in
1991
is modern indeed, with children as young as 6 permitted to vote Conservative. A true victory for Mr. Clement Attlee, now in his 40th year as Prime Minister. Yes, all is well with the world in
1991.
King of the Buttons.
Now then, David.
Yes?
You're a purveyor of fine food produce.
Am I?
Can you tell me about your pork pies recently?
Yes.
And snack eggs, of course. I mustn't forget those.
Indeed. There is a bit of a story behind this somewhere. Yeah.
Is it a legal one?
On a recent gentleman's weekend for gentlemen.
Yes.
I realised that we were meeting at 11 o'clock in the morning of the AM.
Yes.
And we'd arranged an activity, shall we say, from between 12 o'clock and 4 o'clock. And we needed to leave quite soon after we met to get there for 12. And I thought, hang on, 12 to 4, it doesn't leave any time for lunch. Dr. Bollock there.
And you're no good without lunch.
No.
You get very irritable, don't you?
I have to eat. Yeah. You can exist without lunch. Anyway, so I thought what I'll do is I'll go out heavily drinking the night before. And then a solution will present itself.
Yes.
Which is exactly what happened. And at 2:45 in the morning, I found myself in the all-night Tesco near where I live, and I bought £12.19 worth of pork pies and savoury snack eggs.
Did you get any discount for bulk purchase?
No, I should have asked for that.
You should have asked for that.
There was some stupid woman in front after a refund on her fucking jumper or something.
Yeah, so somewhere like that.
I know that. Gone back in time for a second.
Oh, yeah.
So, got them home, and I thought, what have I done? I bought nearly £13 worth of comestibles. I need to convey them in some style, obviously, otherwise I'm going to just look stupid. So I got a Harrods carrier bag.
And one of your favourite shops?
Yeah, I'm always in there. And I filled the Harrods carrier bag with pork pies and put them in my suitcase and got them out on the train and again 3 or 4 times throughout the rest of the day, and it was a big smash hit success.
What?
I stole a knife from a hotel as well to cut them off.
To slash your wrists when you'd had too much pork. What, in terms of sort of meat to pastry ratio from the £12, £12.13 or something you said?
£12.19.
It's 19. What, in terms of cost, what percentage do you think you've got of meat and percentage you've got of pastry?
Interesting. Scotch eggs aside, we'll come on to
that. Yeah, we'll come on to that. Or the snack egg, as they're known now. Because obviously that offends Scottish people.
And there's no scotch in them.
That's true.
That's what it's for, I think. You don't even get even slightly pissed. I had 6 of them. Wasn't even slightly pissed.
You were slightly unwell though, weren't you?
That was for other reasons. They're filling full of nitrogen. That's the problem.
That could be it.
Tell you what, when I opened that carrier bag, the waft of nitrogen, it nearly killed me immediately.
They do say that if you eat too many Scotch eggs, you get kind of breath that smells of gas. So
yeah,
maybe it's the nitrogen in them.
My brother reckons that, you know, when you first get poured a pint of Guinness,
yeah,
there's like some fizz and caffeine and stuff like that. It sort of fizzes for a bit.
Yeah.
If you drank it down immediately, you would die because of all the nitrogen in it.
I think if you drank it down immediately 20 times repeatedly, I think you might die.
I think I probably would. It's a challenge I'm willing to accept, though.
If I think we'll have a go at that later.
If you're buying all the pints.
Anyway, back to the pork pies.
Back to the pork pies and all the nitrogen. And now, what's the question? What was the percentage of
what was
meat?
What was the meat to pastry ratio?
It was pretty good. I would say it was about 8 to 1.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So you reckon you probably had about 9 quid's worth of meat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
About that. Yeah. A bit more maybe. Maths never was very good.
And also, I believe you had one of them gala pies, which is the king of pies.
There was a number. I had a Melton Mowbray classic.
Oh.
Big one. I had one of those tubes of mini top savoury pies.
Like the mini eggs, but a savoury version.
They were Tesco's finest.
Finest. Premium.
You'll find.
Premium. None of your rubbish.
They're the best ones, basically. They went down like cold pork pies.
They went down like lead.
Just the smell of nitrogen. Other than that...
They came up like vomit as well.
They did not. That was something else.
Oh, right. Okay, that was a Tipex you've been drinking.
Anyway, I was a hero. It was a great success. Everybody loved me, and a lot of the people there did try and kiss my feet.
That's true.
Mm.
But then that's mainly because you were dressed as Jesus.
Mm. And the chloroform.
home help who comes on the phone. She says, hey, Bobcat, hey, what's your problem? I said, my bag has burst on the carpet. My bag has burst. It ain't the first time today. And as I'm getting older, I tend to feel a little full after every meal. So when I have it, I always flood into my bag, and it looks like mud. I really don't like it, but I'm getting old. That's why I'm going down to social today. Oh, I'm getting old. I nearly forgot what the words went there, and the bridge nearly fell apart. But I'm getting old and I don't mind it, but everybody else minds. And one day I got up the stairs, and not only did I forget what I was there for, but I forgot that my legs was working, and the bag had got tangled around my shoes. I ruined the carpet. My home help has gone away. Or that's what I'm talking about. I'm so old, I don't know what old I am.
You know, they say that water everywhere and nor a drop to drink or something.
Nor any drop to drink.
That's it. You've had a drink already.
Yeah.
Anyway, you've had some trouble, haven't you, with water shortages recently?
I only drink from the Elf.
In the Thames area.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that, because I think it's something that's quite interesting to at least you.
I'll just put the kettle on.
I woke up on Sunday morning and went in to have a wee and went to wash my hands in the sink.
At the same time?
No, I had a wee
in
the
toilet. You didn't wash your hands with wee, did you?
I had a wee in the toilet. Unfortunately, I didn't flush. I don't know why. Can we start this again?
Yeah.
I went to wash my hands on Sunday and there was no water.
Right.
Or it ran for about a second or so and then got very weak. So I turned the other tap on, same thing again, went into the kitchen, put a glass underneath the tap thinking, hello, what's going on here? And yeah, there's no water. And it was a bit of an issue because I really wanted a bit of a wash and to clean my teeth and everything. So I had a look in the fridge and I hadn't got any, but I don't buy bottled water, I just drink tap water. I'm sophisticated like that.
Yeah, I've heard.
And all I'd got in the sink, in the fridge, was some lemonade and some milk.
You've had some kind of cocktail, couldn't you?
No, you can't mix like carbonated water and milk.
A White Lady or something, you could have called it. Lemonade and milk.
I could do one of those. Yeah, what I ended up doing was I put a load of lemonade in the sink. It's true. Put lemonade in the sink and I got a chopstick and like mashed it around for it to get all the gas out because you can't wash your face in fizzy lemonade. It's just really stupid. And then I washed my face and under my arms with lemonade.
And was it sticky or...?
No, not really.
So you didn't really have to use aftershave or deodorant?
Someone else said that when I went down the pub later on. I told them that and they had hysterics about 30 seconds. And then they said, well, I wondered why you were covered in wasps.
So you had a wash in lemonade?
Yeah, flat lemonade, diet lemonade.
Well, do you know, I've been in a similar situation, but I haven't done the washing thing, but I remember
you
once...
You just drank it?
No, well, once when I was in a flat I lived in, that for some reason the water went off, and I woke up at about... It must be about 3 a.m. or something, a little bit worse for wear.
I thought, I'll have a bath.
Because I've had a few beverages, and I thought, oh, I'm gasping for a drink. Right? So I went into the kitchen, got the pint glass out, started to try and fill the glass, nothing. I thought, oh no, we're going to the bathroom. Nothing, right? I wasn't going to drink out of the toilet, even though I'm not that unsophisticated. So,
did he make a drink out of bleach and toothpaste?
No, better still, I went back to the kitchen, saw a bottle of Robinson's Orange, concentrated.
Nice.
And had a good, nice swig of that, and then went back to bed.
And nearly died.
And then I woke up about 3 or 4 hours later with a banging headache and my eyes feeling very sharp. And thankfully, I ran into the kitchen and there was the water had reappeared. And then I drank, what I did was I drank about 3 or 4 pints of water. So it was the equivalent of having, you know, about 20 squashes. But it was very silly and I would warn listeners against doing that.
So you drank concentrate orange juice?
Yes.
That That'd be like being smashed in the face with a brick, I imagine.
It was particularly like that because it was on top of several pints of alcohol a couple of hours beforehand. So I wasn't actually that well afterwards.
I heard of a rugby player that drank an entire bottle of concentrate for a bet and then he died.
He died?
Yeah, he died.
It must have been the wrong flavour.
He was completely dead all over.
what would be in it to kill you?
Well, it's dehydrating.
Oh, is it? Maybe that's why I felt a bit squiffy.
You died of dehydration.
Best stay with the barley ones then.
One, two, three, four. Oh, down the woods and in the glen, I saw some people, I saw some men. They smelled of nutmeg and of parsley. They were dressed so very sparsely. And I saw he had a belly full of cream. Of the nutmeg and the parsley, they dressed so very, very sparsely. The nutmeg and the parsley.
Well, this now brings us to this week's tricky choice.
I've been waiting for this.
Where I give you a choice of three options and you have to pick one of them to consume.
It's been a long few weeks since the last one, you know.
It's been a little while.
It has been a while.
Yeah, but you did get 28 days without the option.
That's true,
so
yeah.
So we didn't have any
but
other
But anyway,
choice.
Moving on.
Moving swiftly on from your crimes, this week's tricky choice, sandwiches.
Oh, right, nice.
We all like a nice sandwich, don't we? Well, these aren't nice. And you've got
these aren't nice.
No.
Okay.
These are a different kind of nice.
Okay.
And you've got to choose one of them to eat. And I'm going to stand over you with a pneumatic drill.
It's always a dilemma because they're always, you know, tip-top quality.
These really are lovely. So, choice number one. Mm-hmm. Are you listening? Come on, wake up.
I'm listening.
Choice number one is a dirty dishcloth on green bread.
What colour dishcloth is it?
It's like a red and white tea towel type cloth. That's been wiped around the inside of the cooker and my boiler and cut into a nice square and put on a slice of lovely mouldy green bread.
When you say your boiler, that's not some kind of nickname for one of your associates?
No, that's not one of my harem.
Okay,
my hot water boiler in the cupboard.
Okay, I'll just make a note of that choice.
So that's tricky choice number one.
Right, okay.
Number two, you know I'm always saying you don't get enough salt in your diet?
Yeah.
Well, this is going to rectify that.
Okay.
Probably beyond the required amount of salt.
Right. Is that you making that noise?
Yeah, it's my stomach.
Is it? You've been eating one of them sandwiches?
I haven't eaten.
Right, okay, carry on.
You wait till you've eaten number two.
Okay.
Okay, well, I'll start off with the
I think your MP3 player's playing up a bit, it's making a noise.
The sandwich material. Who is that boy making that gesture at the window?
I don't know.
He looks like
he needs some help.
He looks like a younger version of you.
Oh, yeah.
Now then, are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
So we've got your two slices of Rivita.
Yeah.
As a sandwich, outer sandwich casing.
Yeah.
But not just ordinary Rivita. It's been soaked in vinegar.
Is it the multigrain stuff?
It's the brown stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's been soaked in vinegar. Yeah. Cask vinegar, lovely Saracens. Yeah.
Balsamic or spirit?
No, Saracens.
Oh, right, okay.
Cask vinegar.
Oh, right. That's the posh stuff, isn't it? Don't they have in the Ritz or something?
In the Scottish chip shops. No. Oh, okay. So, pay attention.
I'm paying attention.
You've got Rivita that's been soaked in vinegar, yeah, as the outer layer of the sandwich. Yeah. And inside, a level inch of salt.
That would help my salt intake, wouldn't it?
It would increase your salt intake.
Would it actually kill me in the process?
Yes, almost immediately.
Okay. I'll bear that in mind as a consequence.
You might want to bear that in mind. It is a possible side effect.
Okay.
Instant death. And do I need to go any further? Or have you already
I like to have three choices.
Right. Tricky choice number three.
Yes.
Classic combination, really. Classic. You probably see it around all the smart boutiques this summer. Pubic hair and lard.
Oh.
Mixed together, served on wood.
What kind of wood? Nice bit of teak or something?
Balsa wood.
Balsa.
Yeah. Okay. Lovely thin, lightly seasoned.
And whose hair is it?
It's been retrieved from the plug hole of the gym that I go to.
Which gym do you go
it's
to?
It's called the Seven Islands gym, and nice. it's shit, but it is cheap.
So that would be a little bit like a kind of a coconut.
You'd probably find a rich ethnic mix.
Okay.
Fat, which is probably the best. If you're going to eat a pubic hair sandwich, you might as well have some variety in there. That's what I would say.
It's a bit of a selling feature, isn't it?
Mixed with lard, don't forget. Pig lard.
Pig lard.
Lovely creamy white lard.
I've got some of that in the fridge.
So, do you want me to just review your options?
Yeah, because I don't want to make the wrong choice.
No, and you must choose one of them, don't
I know,
forget.
I must.
There is no fourth way.
I know.
Number one, that's the dirty dishcloth on green bread. Number two is the inch of salt surrounded by vinegar-soaked dry beater. And number three is pubic hair and lard served on wood.
Okay, well, and as you know, I'm quite careful about my diet and what I eat, so...
You wouldn't think that to look at you.
Weighing things up, I think I'd probably go for the last option, the pubic hair, lard and wood. But I'd like it deep-fried if I could.
We can do that. A Monte Cristo. We can do that for you. That's probably a wise choice on the ground that that in itself is probably not instantly fatal, unlike choices one and two.
Well, maybe we could have a go at making one of those.
It's the thinking man's choice.
You have been listening to King of the Buttons, written and presented by James Sandy and David Powell, with the creative musings of Mr. Alan Jones.
The stupid drunken lich.
After that delicious sandwich choice that you gave me earlier, I thought I'd get my own back and give you an option. No. And you, just quick. What?
I give the choices, I don't have to make them. That's
the
rule.
But I've changed the rules.
Read the contract.
I haven't got the contract.
Well, I'm not doing it then.
It's online. I can't read it. Anyway, here's a look. There's three choices here for you. And to be honest, they're fairly sensible. First one is a delicious banana and Stilton sandwich. Imagine the combination of flavours.
How runny is the Stilton?
Very. Ooh. Because it's been secreted around my pants.
How black is the banana?
It's very black.
You nearly said bright black.
It's bright black. In fact, I've written bright black banana and runny Stilton.
Okay.
The second option is one that you might actually like, and I think I probably saw you having earlier. Mint and mustard. So that's a bush of mint with mustard. Because the mustard help you get it down.
It'll soothe it.
Of course I couldn't eat it because I'd die.
Yeah.
But anyway, we won't talk about that. Or the last choice that you can have is caribou, which is some kind of elk, I believe, and engine oil.
Right, what kind of engine oil? What kind of grade?
Castrol, high grade, GTX.
High grade?
High
GTX,
grade, yeah.
That's the fastest
Yeah,
there,
good viscosity, none of your rubbish.
Right, okay. So, Stilton, runny Stilton and bright black banana.
That's it.
What was number two?
Mint and mustard.
Mint and mustard.
Yeah.
Or caribou covered in engine oil.
That's it. And these are all served on paper, because I can't afford bread. So, just like old newspaper.
Newspaper? What paper?
Probably The Sun.
Ooh, blimey.
Yeah, so, you know, none of your rubbish.
Well, I'd probably read the paper before I ate.
No, you're not allowed.
Oh.
It's been recycled.
Okay.
What we've done is we've got a dog to chew it for a bit and then regurgitate it. Okay. And then made a nice kind of...
We dried it out much.
Made a loaf and sliced it.
Okay.
It's a little bit soggy.
I think I would probably go for the bright black banana and runny Stilton.
I think it's a popular choice. It's been selling like hotcakes.
I can imagine. Yes. When is your poisoning trial?
Next Tuesday. All of the music that you've heard on this programme is available on btpodshow.com and podsafeaudio.com. Check out the links on kingofthebuttons.co.uk. Thanks for listening, and we'll be around again soon.
Yes.